Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the BAF Podcast. I'm your host, Jake. On this week's episode, we speak with Maxim from Guy Gives. The goal of Guy Gives is to use Web3 technology to empower NGOs to do more good and add transparency. They are answering the question of where does my donation go and helping people across the internet to support NGOs with micropayments and crypto. You're not going to want to miss this one. So if you want to learn how to do more good, stick around. But first, a word from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by BAF. BAF stands for the Blockchain Acceleration Foundation, and they are a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to accelerating the development and adoption of Web3. BAF hosts networking and educational meetups and supports blockchain clubs at universities worldwide. BAF's sponsors and supporters include NEAR and the Algorand Foundation, who help BAF launch more educational activities. To learn more, follow the Blockchain Acceleration Foundation on Twitter. Are you sick of expensive classes that don't help you in today's competitive work environment? EduCoin was too. So we built a decentralized learning management system that allows any teacher to host an open access industry-sponsored class. If you're a teacher and want to learn more about how you can build the class of the future, or a student looking to grow your career, visit EduCoin.store to see how they are helping students, teachers, and employers connect to make a more healthy secondary education ecosystem. A quick notice before we get started today, Maxim was actually calling in from a remote location as he has to travel a lot for work and be boots on the ground. So if the audio quality isn't great, we do apologize, but I hope you stick with it as he had a lot of great things to say, and I don't think it took away from the episode. Thanks, but apologies in advance. Hello, everyone. I am here with Maxim Goshen. He is of Gaia Gives, and we are doing the BAF podcast. How are you doing today, Maxim? Awesome. So without further ado, give the audience a brief introduction about who you are and how we got connected for this pod.
Yeah, absolutely. So quick background on myself. I used to fundraise for Amnesty International, a bit of different teams there. The only large institution I still support at this point. Worked for UNICEF, got pretty quickly very fed up with the large overhead that has been created through bureaucratic nightmares within the organization. And then worked a lot more in the grassroots, seeing different permaculture initiatives, obviously worked in different, like a SaaS company called Collaborative Arts Network, really encouraging collaboration, community, getting people together. That was around 7-8 years ago. And then tapped my fingers into the Web3 space and saw a massive discrepancy between the virtual layer, the Web3 layer, and actual impact on the ground. So that's the intention of which Guy Gives really got born, to be able to bridge that layer and from the virtual create tangible impact. So yeah, that's kind of like the short story on it.
Very cool. And so tell me a little bit about this disconnect. I guess in your mind, what's the biggest problem, I guess, in NGOs or in donations that you saw as someone who worked in the field and boots on the ground?
So one, basically, I mean, for NGOs, one is extremely expensive. 35 cents out of every dollar go into raising the next dollar. So I think that's the first major downfall that we've got to experience, because that's money going to marketing agencies versus actual impact on the ground. And that is quite high. I think we can leverage our dollars a lot better. The other component is tooling. So particularly for smaller organizations, they don't have the tools or know-how to really reach the masses or reach their audience. So a lot of the funds are going to the large institutionalized organizations, and they are also the ones that are, to a great extent, not using these funds to the maximum capacity due to large overhead constructs, etc. So really being able to create a more community-based approach that is a lot more engaging, a lot more connected, because there's a great disconnect between the work that is actually extremely hard work. I worked on the ground and I know how difficult the work can get on the ground and how many different complications and stakeholders and different problems just arise. And it's usually people that don't get paid a whole lot, that live on the absolute, oftentimes volunteering, have a side or three side jobs to finance their do good, give back a component of their charity, and we just really want to tell these people stories and connect the donors to the actual labor that is going on the ground and show how hard that work actually is and what it really means to, like, pull off going to the Amazon, basically work for 7 days to work with different people or like different tribes in the Amazon. It's hard labor, and it's a completely different way of living. And we're so, I feel like oftentimes when we're putting things into perspective, we get to really appreciate the life that we get to live and feel a lot more generous about giving back, because we are very blessed to be living in that society in the Western Hemisphere. If it's the US, if it's Europe, Canada, Australia, etc., the majority of the planet doesn't live like that. That's the majority. So, yeah. So there comes some responsibility with that.
It's fascinating, though, because, you know, you're talking about two extremes, right? On the one end, you have these communities that live basically in another generation or another world from a lot of, quote, modern society. And then we're talking about fringe technology, which is, you know, blockchain and Web3, and how they can intersect to make a better world or a better ecosystem for NGOs and for people doing this hard labor. I guess kind of, where did the light click for you that blockchain technology or these tools could be helpful for you and for what y'all are doing in the Amazon and in these different organizations?
Yeah. So when I see one, it's always, do we need blockchain?
Yeah.
That's always, I think, the first question. Do we need blockchain? We don't need to throw blockchain on everything. That's one. Two, basically, it becomes interesting to be able to reach beneficiaries in a much more efficient way versus having to go through intermediary banks trying to transfer money into the Congo or trying to transfer money into to the Hunikun in the middle of the Amazon becomes very, very difficult. So one, like being able to reach these stakeholders and beneficiaries directly versus having to go through intermediaries becomes very interesting, I feel. Stakeholder inclusion. So these people are not oblivious. Most of the population do have smartphones. So for example, in Africa, they had a technological jump. They never had landlines, so they straight went to mobile phone. So like now you can govern your DAO or be participating, giving feedback basically of what is really needed in these different communities. And just for example, Health and Harmony, which has a really, really interesting approach, and they're spending a lot of time going to these different communities and spending months, like 3-4 months, talking to the different benefit, like different people on the ground, actually, and really, really going deep into what are their actual needs. And to be able to connect that and just show that also the world a little bit more transparent, that work has been done and does not be, I'm just sounding frank, but a modern colonialist approach of going, thinking we know what they need, and we should really go talk to the people first and figure out what do they actually want, what do they actually need, versus just putting our belief systems essentially up on other people.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So how many NGOs are you actually working with right now at Gaia Gives, or what's your current network look like?
Yeah, so we're working with around, like, we have launched on the platform around 10 different NGOs with each project, different milestones, etc. And now we're just in the, like, we've just been soft launching, and now we're in the process of launching, like, a new NGO around every week, every 2 weeks. And we're starting an accelerator program now on the 23rd of January, which we're running the NGOs through a cohort-based program to really show them the ins and outs of fundraising. We're giving that away for free to the NGOs that we're working with, that we're on the project, on the platform, so they really have the tooling. So a lot of them, at the end of the day, they're not marketers. They're going into the space because they actually want to create an impact, or they come from permaculture backgrounds, they come from et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly wearing a completely different hat. But that marketing hat is also an important hat. And we really want to teach them the ins and outs and really one-on-one based on how to create a successful campaign. So they can really raise also the funds and just create awareness around the different programs that they're running.
Absolutely. And, you know, just taking a step back, because I don't know if many people in the US or, you know, college age students know this. What makes an NGO different from a nonprofit? Or can you kind of describe what the role of an NGO is and, you know, why it's different from just giving money to a charity, I guess?
What's the difference between an NGO and a non-for-profit? So they're just the same thing.
Oh, they are the same thing? Okay.
Same thing.
Perfect. I never knew. I thought there was some sort of a delineation, but I guess not.
No, they're the same thing. So they're essentially non-for-profit. They're not working. Yeah, same thing.
Okay. And when you give money to a nonprofit or an NGO currently, you know, in your experience, how does that money flow exactly? Because you were talking about direct payments. But obviously, there is some level of administration, right? Like, I can't just donate money to a field worker. I donate it to the business entity, the nonprofit, the NGO entity, and then they pay their workers or they buy resources and they distribute to the workers. I guess, how does that money flow? And, you know, where are the holes in that from your experience?
Yeah. So the major issue with that is that I see is the lack of transparency. So money going, unrestricted funds going into an NGO, going into XYZ programs, and you don't really know. I mean, there's some reporting, but the reporting is usually kept very generalized. And oftentimes, that reporting is also so the numbers are being twisted in a way, basically, that it shows lower overhead, that it shows less fundraising costs, etc., etc. And we just want to get real about what are the actual costs and just transparently transgress that. And what can we do to actually mitigate that? So that's why we built, for example, a peer-to-peer sharing network. So you can go ahead, share the content of the NGO, so your favorite project, over your social media channels and your following. Like, think about all the capital, like social capital that millennia, Gen Z are carrying around, so that we can really mitigate these costs. And an average share brings in between $26 to $56 in donations. So that's quite a lot when you think about how easy it is. And it takes you literally 2.5 seconds, and you can have such a big impact. And that over the masses. And from the distribution component, I think the major lack is transparency. Just not being able to see where the funds are being allocated. Ghosting, and that's a reality. You give and you get ghosted by the NGO. It's a quite frequent behavior. You don't actually get to see where your funds end up. And we're a different generation. So I think the baby boomer generation, they are giving out of, I give, I set and forget, and I feel good in my conscience. And millennia and Gen Z, think about it from our perspective and research and just like as an experience, a little bit different. It's more like a social impact investment. I'm investing not just in the future, of course, of our family, but I'm also investing in getting some sort of return. And like, how does that return look like? So I want media, I want to get updates, I want to get exciting stories, or just like see, like get tangible on what's actually happening on the ground. So really creating a nourishing ground for that relationship and creating that emotional bond, I think is key, particularly when you're looking at like, yeah, just trying to unlock the generosity of millennia and Gen Z.
Yeah. So I guess a couple of rapid fire questions. First, you know, with Guy Gives, if I'm to donate to one of the 10 NGOs on your site, are you committing to this like kind of mission where you will give updates like photo or just like updates on spending? Is that something that all 10 of them do?
Absolutely. So just to give you like a quick maybe breakdown of like how we constructed or tried to create more transparency from the organizational side. So we broke every organization down into different projects, and every project then is in turn broken down into different milestones. So with each of the milestones, you don't just have the budget and the metrics that come along with that, but you also get the impact verification, the photos, receipts, etc. Down the line, you want to plug in an app, stripping the metadata, so you get the geolocation and timestamp, so it becomes much more tangible and very easily applicable for anybody on the field across the SDGs, because every field has such a different approach to the impact verification. Take a shot, there wasn't well, there was no well, now there is a well. And with that come the updates as well. So you really get a feat basically of positive, tangible social impact and hope. I think hope is something that we massively undervalue as a generation or as a collective. Hope is one of the major driving forces for every human being. And when you look at all the, particularly our generation, I think, and Gen Zers and below that, eco anxiety is real. Not knowing where climate change is going to take us, not knowing how this planet is going to look literally in the next 30, 40 years, and we're going to get to live that. We're going to get to see that. Massive amount of people, sea levels rising, displacement. There's a lot that we're really facing that we're not really quite sure yet how it's going to play out. And I feel like right now, at this point in humanity, we have a crossroad to take. So it's really up to all of us, and not just the individual, but each individual to their part, but collectively, to take that turn in which direction, in the best direction we can at this point. It's go time.
Yeah. And, you know, not all of us, right, can, you know, you're out in Costa Rica right now, and, you know, you're making these trips on the boots on the ground, you and your team, you know, not all of us can commit to that. So, you know, money is sometimes the best we can do. That's all good. We'll wait for that to pass. Boots on the ground. That's what's you're going to hear. So I guess kind of two quick questions. You know, do you accept like micropayments? Do you take crypto payments yet? Is that a reality? And two, is there a way to, you know, donate as part of campaigns? Like, let's say I do an NFT drop and I want 5% of my proceeds as a student or a creator to kind of go to one of your NGOs. Are any of those integrations live or easy to set up yet, whether it's micropayments, crypto payments, or just like auto payments on sales? Is any of that live yet by chance? We're going to be live? Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So currently we're supporting one-off crypto donations. Q2, we're supporting monthly recurring crypto donations. At the moment, we're supporting BNB, Polygon, and Ethereum Mainnet. Obviously, all the traditional Google Pay, Apple Pay, PayPal, and credit card. Anyways, because we really want to try and make this inclusive. We're trying to avoid the common mistake I think that a lot of people do in the Web3 space of techies building for techies, and they're talking about inclusivity, and then there being a massive technical hurdle to even start to use the protocol. So yeah. We really want to create an inclusive environment for everybody. So that for one. In regards to setting up, giving royalties, for example, of NFTs back to impact projects, that's possible. So you can either put this into a pot, or you can put it into a specific project. And then good point for mentioning that. And I think that's really where the massive opportunity as the Web3 community lies is the CSR component. We're literally printing money. That's literally what we're doing. So we're creating a massive amount of wealth. So if we can give back to actual tangible impact with a fraction of that, like really a fraction. So think about a layer one. 1 to 5% of gas fees go back to actual impact. Yield optimizer. 1% of the returns or 5% of the returns go back to impact. Exchange, 1 to 5% again go back to actual impact. I think we can create a lot of impact without actually feeling it the slightest bit, and these numbers do accumulate over time. So that's something that we want to get to. We can obviously give the addresses and like plug that in already. It also depends on the protocol. So we have a network and conversation session that we got already to the yield optimizer, like giving a return basically to different impact initiatives. They're really doing really great work. And I think that's really the spirit. And also, like at the end of the day, I guess an industry as a whole, we're taking a massive hit right now with what's happening. But I also see a massive opportunity if we really we can make a stance as an industry as a whole for blockchain for good. So if there's actually a do-good component about the technology that really benefits our everyday life or like our planet as a whole. So that will avoid a lot of, I think, legislation as well, which might come in a lot.
So is there any projects you see kind of doing that sort of stuff right now? Like, I know with Amazon.com, right, you can set up Amazon Gives, and I think like 1% of every order will be donated to a charity that you get from a list. So that's, you know, kind of an example of what we're saying, which is that like automated donation or that could be implemented. Are any projects in Web3 kind of doing this right now, or is it something that you think is lacking or not really up to par to what it should be?
I think it's absolutely lacking. It's incredibly lacking. Right now, we're still thinking about printing numbers, moving on the bear market. But there is some examples. So, for example, Popcorn Network, popcorn.network is a URL, mentioned there, Yield Optimizer, working with a basket of different stablecoins and also leverage stablecoins, giving part of the yield back to impact initiatives. So I think that's a really forerunning thought. There's also Decaf, which we're working with together, the Solana payment capital provider that are giving pathways to be back to impact initiatives, but it's very few to this point. It's very, very few. And I feel the CSR component has landed a lot more in the corporate social responsibility component, has landed a lot more in the traditional space or traditional industry. We're creating an entire employer engagement build-out at the moment that we're launching in May, which really engages essentially employees in the process of distributing the corporate funds, and the constant updates being really kept alive and creating that emotional engagement. And if you look at the statistics, it's really interesting, like around 50% of millennials have quit a job because they see no meaning in it. And a give back program, for example, that's a McKinsey study, actually decreases that turnover by 36%. So that's immense. Wow. So 36%, I mean, just gives you a rough idea, basically costs you around $7,500 to onboard one employee into your company. And then think about the turnover in the Web3 space. That's much more rapid. It's much more rapid. The amount of people changing jobs literally every day and night is so much more accelerated. I mean, the whole DAO concept and like gig-based, etc. But also on the other hand, it does take a lot of time and energy to get people started in a company and set up. So we hope through that, being able to break into the Web3 market, that we can also really provide value for the different corporations and essentially save them costs while actually creating real world champions.
So to that vein, I guess if you're, you know, our audience is largely college students, but, you know, some professors, some admin, but mostly, you know, education in the US, people who are interested in blockchain, want to build blockchain products. And I'm sure the morals of people that generally entering Web3 and especially younger people, like you're saying, there tends to be more like, I want meaning out of my work. I want to do something that has a good impact. What do you think is the number one thing people mess up when they're trying to do good and they want to help a nonprofit or they want to be virtuous, but it just, they don't really know how, I guess, or what would be your number one piece of advice for someone who has these beliefs, but doesn't really, gets overwhelmed by it or doesn't know where to start?
There's no way to start. Reach out and ask, what can I do? How can I be of support? So that's one of the major ones. Like if you want to do a direct intervention, go spend time in the community that you want to help, in the neighborhood that you want to help, observe what is actually needed. Take some time to just observe. I think in our world, we're so much caught up in this everyday rush, that it's really important to listen, to learn how to listen, and see from there basically what really transpires and engages. I mean, from the college student perspective, from what we're doing, for example, there's an easy way to help. And now, of course, like I've been at that age myself, and funds are usually not unlimited at that point in time. So, but particularly when you look at Gen Z and millennia, like the amount of social capital that we're carrying around is insane. Like 5,000 friends on Facebook, like 10,000 followers on Instagram, or let it be 1,000. Just coming on, come on, guy, gives, make a share, spread it through your network and raise donations basically for these NGOs. It's an easy, easy way of using what you have, which is your social capital, to be an advocate, to have support, even like, yeah, passively per se. It's two clicks and you can raise donations for different NGOs. Get rewarded, you initially for us, you're earning Gaia points. Down the line, that will be tokenized. They're going to convert into tokens once we have enough users on the platform to do all the approval, governance, and impact verification. And yeah, on the platform as well, be able to earn swag, be able to earn, like, win experiences, like, for example, a hotel trip to like an eco resort, and yeah, just be a participant basically, and use what you have at your capacity at that point in time. So if it's time, you can volunteer. Maybe like yes. Tons of people, please reach out to us if you have social media skills. So we are experiencing so many NGOs that are so passionate about what they're doing, but are just lacking marketing capacity.
Yeah.
So if you know how to write a great email, please reach out. So we're going to be opening up like a little form, like just for people to actually reach out and like, but do you want to support different initiatives that we're supporting? Because there's so much great work done and just really being able to give these people the support that they need to get their work well done can be great. So.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. And certainly EduCoin, my company, is going to start working with Guy Gives and hopefully with corporate onboarding, starting to incorporate, you know, how do you want to allocate your corporate giving allowance, or how do you, you know, how do you see your company getting more involved with NGOs? I think these are all great things that we need to be more educated on. And also, you know, as a company or as a student, you know, learn how we're going to, you know, participate in that ecosystem instead of just kind of blindly writing checks, or like you said, our parents' generation just turning on an auto deposit. So that's great. So I guess kind of wrapping up, you know, your boots on the ground right now, you know, you're abroad, as everyone can hear. We apologize if the audio quality has been great, but I think that the interview has been excellent regardless. So, you know, what are your, you know, maybe closing thoughts for what you would hope to see in the Web3 community in 2023, or what you're excited about this year?
ReFi, like the ReFi summer of last year has been pretty incredible. And there's been so many different like ReFi, regenerative finance movement that has been really transpiring over the last like 1 to 2 years and really blowing up, to be honest. There's so many people getting really, really excited about using that technology to create actual tangible impact, new financial models, et cetera, different verification credits, for example, OFP, like open source protocol that we're working with, mitigating, democratizing access to carbon credits, which is usually only available to very large developments. So hundreds and thousands of hectares or acres. So with open source protocol, that becomes feasible for 0.1 hectares and above. So that's really democratizing access, because I feel like we really need more grassroots, really need more small local initiatives rather than just huge multinational, yeah, oftentimes monocrops and deforestation or the like. We need a little bit more of an inclusive approach in which everybody can participate versus just the people.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think ReFi is a huge unknown in the space. I think a lot of people want to do ReFi to work, but it's really tricky, like you said earlier, like to actually like do it right and not like make it become just overhead or just make it, you know, something that sounds good but really doesn't work. So I think that effective ReFi programs like what you're trying to build is just such a key to probably the future success if we're really rethinking money, if this is going to work, about what we can do. So absolutely. Yeah.
And it's also like, it's also really, to be honest, an appeal to the VC world. So if you're in venture capital in the traditional space, I mean, if you look at BlackRock CEO, he mentioned that the next one, well, next $1 trillion companies or yeah, and next 1,000 unicorns are going to be essentially climate-focused unicorns. So in the Web3 space, that still hasn't arrived to my experience. We were raising just at the beginning of this year, and the amount of impact funds in the Web3 space is close to none. There's close to no particular impact VC funds in the Web3 space. So how can that be? that's really something. If we need to, the capital as well to build these different innovations. So it's really an appeal for the particular Web3 VC world to wake up and see the opportunity, to be honest, because the opportunity is massive, and that's really where the money is going to be in the future. So with all the legislation, etc., moving into place. So it's not going to be the next exchange. It's not going to be, maybe another layer one or layer two. But at the end of the day, there's a massive funding gap, and we need to bridge that funding gap. So Gitcoin, for example, is doing great work with that. Really, thumbs up for Kevin, Ben, and the whole collective spearheading their work and really bringing more, also democratized access to capital or different impact initiatives within the refugee space.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny you talked about your fundraising experience, because it was similar to me, and where, like, basically back half of 2022, you know, the funding was drying up a little bit, but certainly the type of Web3 funding or VC firms I would talk to were definitely looking more for traditional financial firms, or kind of not like what you're talking about, not impact funds, not like hard problem thinking. And I actually got a memo from the Not Boring Fund, which reopened today, and they were talking about how they want more longitudinal companies that are solving hard problems and not just reusing, a toolbox. So I think that this is where the space will go if they want to actually have sustainable businesses. So I'm with you, not 100%. So cool. Anything else you want to plug before I let you go today? This has been an awesome pod. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having me here. So excited to see how we're going to continue the journey from here together. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Can't keep to wait. I'm so excited to keep working with Guy Gibbs, and hopefully the Blockchain Acceleration Foundation and other collaborators we're working with can continue to work with you all and support your work. So thanks for doing the good fight, and stay strong.
Same, Jake. All the best. Have a great day. All the best. Ciao.
And there you have it. This has been another episode of the BAF podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning about NGOs and the good crypto can do for the world. If you're interested in learning more about anything we talked about today, make sure to give us a follow and check out the show notes. Again, this is Jake from the BAF podcast, and keep tuned for future episodes.